Amen. Hallelujah. Can you just give me a little bit of volume here? I think I'm good with this. Just a little bit of volume. God bless you. I feel like singing a song this morning. Because Pastor Tyrone said, Jesus is here right now. And as soon as he said that, a song popped up in my heart. And I like to sing that song. Jesus is here right now. Jesus is here right now. He's here to meet your needs and to set the captives free. Oh, Jesus is here right now. If you know that song, can we just sing it together one more time? Jesus is here right now. Jesus is here right now. He is here to meet my needs and to set the captives free. Oh, Jesus is here right now. If you believe that Jesus is here right now, can I hear you shout one mighty hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
Amen. Father, we thank you. We glorify your name. We thank you for your spirit and we thank you for your grace. We thank you because you are the same yesterday. You are the same today. You are the same forever. Irrespective of our circumstances and situations, you remain God. Nothing changes you because you are the perfect God. We thank you for your love that you have bestowed upon us and that you have given us Jesus to die for us and to redeem us. We thank you this morning. I ask, O God, that you will anoint my tongue and speak through me to us this morning. I ask, O Lord, that you take away every spirit of heaviness right now. We destroy every spirit of heaviness. And we destroy every seed planted by the devil, planted by the enemy to contend with your word this morning. We destroy those seeds in the name of Jesus. We ask that you encourage our heart, fire up our hearts this morning, and give us courage, O God, to fulfill our purpose and mandate here on planet Earth. Thank you, gracious Father. I pray also for the body of Christ and every member of this church, wherever they may be right now, whether they are present here or they are at home or somewhere, I pray that your grace will locate them wherever they are right now and reach out to them with a blessing this morning. Thank you, gracious Lord. For in Jesus' gracious name, we have prayed. And the church say, amen. Say a louder amen.
Amen.
You know one thing that is certain? It is only the living that praises the Lord. The dead don't praise God. So you should be grateful unto God. If you are not grateful unto God for anything, at least you should be grateful unto God that you are alive this morning. And it is only the living that will praise the Lord. The dead don't praise God. There is no praises in graves, but there is praises unto God in the land of the living. So can I hear you praise God by shouting one mighty hallelujah again?
Hallelujah!
Yes. That is the evidence that you are alive. Amen. So once again, I want to thank the church. Thank, you know, we are always thanking people all the time. We thank the church. We thank the leadership of this church for granting us always the privilege to be of use in God's house. And we know that God has brought us here for a purpose. Ever since we stepped our feet here, we know God has something in stock for us. And much more than that, we know that as children of God, wherever we find ourselves, we are supposed to be part of the body of Christ.
That's right.
And to do whatever it is that God has laid on our hearts. So it is a privilege unto us, and it is a joy that we have the privilege to be of service in God's house. And we do not do that for any reason other than pleasing God, not pleasing any man. Not even pleasing Pastor Tyrone. Not even pleasing any of you, but pleasing Lord God, our Maker, unto whom we are accountable. And so do you. So you also are accountable unto God. There is a reason God brought you here. And whatever it is that you do in this body of Christ, you don't do for anybody. You don't do for Pastor Tyrone. You don't do for Mama Carol. You don't do for any of the leadership of this church. You do it unto who? Unto the Lord. And He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So I want to encourage us as the body of Christ this morning that we make ourselves available unto service in God's house, in this place, because this place is our Jerusalem. Bible says, tarry ye at Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Then ye shall be my witnesses from Jerusalem to Judea and to the uttermost part of the world. So the design of God is to make the church at Jerusalem a strong church. And for you and I, Word of Faith at the moment is our Jerusalem. And the desire of God is to make this church a very strong and powerful church. And you and I have roles to play. The desire of God is to make this place powerful. That anytime we come in here, we experience God. Because it is only then we can be of impact to our Judea. And our Judea is the immediate environment. Our Judea is the wavelength. Our Judea and Samaria is based in Luz and the immediate environment around us. So here is our Jerusalem, and the desire of God is to make our fellowship stronger and stronger. Stronger in worship, stronger in praises, stronger in prayers, stronger in the study of the Word of God, stronger in every activity that goes on in the church. Not just for activity's sake, but for impartation's sake. That is the desire of God. And I pray that we take that challenge this morning. I hope I have not offended you speaking this way this morning. So it's no longer time to be lazy in God's house. There's no time. Because the coming of the Lord is at hand. And God is counting on you to take revival to the nations. God is counting on you and I to be His witnesses. Because many people don't even know Christ. Bible says, narrow is the way and difficult is the road that leads to life. But there are few that finds it. Very few. But broad is the way. And wide is the gate that leads to where destruction. And there are many that goes in by it. So God is counting on you and I to rescue those many and bring them to the narrow road. It's narrow. It's not an easy road. It's a difficult way. But Jesus is there to hold your hands and make you tread through it so that you can enter into glory. So there's no time, again, to be lazy in God's house. Hallelujah. But that is not the word God is bringing to us this morning. That's just a charge. So this morning, the topic is divine visitation. Divine visitation. This gladdens my heart this morning because I know many of us are going through a lot. But I'm glad to announce to somebody here this morning that God is visiting your situation in the name of Jesus. We're going to be taking our text from the book of Luke chapter 8 from verse 22 to 39. Luke chapter 8, 22 to 39. 22 to 39. Right. Okay, we have it on the screen. Now it happened. So even the situation we're talking about is an issue that is also going to happen now. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples. And he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. Next. All right. Okay. All right. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. The next one. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him." Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out to the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him. He was kept under guard, bound with chains. So when we were singing that song, "My chains are gone, I've been set free. My Savior has ransomed me." When we began to sing the last song, I said whoever chose that song was in the spirit. Because that fellow chose the right song for the moment. And I'm praying this morning, whatever chain that has held you bound in that situation, they will be broken this morning in the name of Jesus. I am not hearing your amen, church. Bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by demon into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go into the upsea. Now a herd of many swine were feeding there on the mountain, so they begged him that he would permit them to go enter them, and he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it to the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what had happened, and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, now clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of Gadarene asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear and got into the boat and returned. Now, the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him.
Hallelujah.
Divine visitation. Divine visitation. There are a lot of things that takes place when God visits a man. There are situations that have had men bound for years. But in a single moment, when God visits, those situations disappear. Whenever God visits a man, that man has no option. It cannot be the same again. Just like one of the songs also we sang. I will never be the same again. I cannot be the same. Provided there is divine visitation. Provided God visits somebody this morning. Provided Jesus visits you right there. Even as you are seated and you are listening to my voice right now. If Jesus visits you and touches you, you cannot remain the same. That sickness is going to disappear. That trouble is going to disappear. That worry is going to disappear. Because you have no option but to be filled with the joy of the Lord. But before we start, we have not started yet. Let us introduce to ourselves this city called Gathering. I took a special interest when the Bible said, it said, let us, because it was a purposeful visit. He said to the disciples, we just read it. He said, let us cross over to the other side. And then the other side actually is a city located called Gathering. So I took a special interest. I decided to search the Google and make some references to some Bible commentaries. I wanted to know what is special about this city called Gathering. Please, can you pull up the first slide? Let's see the first slide. So I quickly want to bring to our notice and our attention at least about five different things about this city. The first thing you notice about this city is that it's separated from other cities by a lake. It's separated by a lake. Maybe a body of water. I don't know how deep. I am interested even to do some research and find out how deep is that water. But something is very obvious. There is a body of water that separates this city from other cities. That's number one. Number two, that city is located on the hills. It's a hilly country. And then in that city, something becomes almost immediately apparent. Is that if you, I think you can see this picture clearly. You can see there are tombs inside the rocks. You may not be able to see it so clearly on this screen, but on this you can almost see it. There are tombs, right? Tombs actually laid the foot of the mountains, of the hills. You have several tombs. So no wonder that man was living inside the tomb, the place where people were buried. That second thing you notice about this city called Gathering. The third thing you notice about this city called Gathering, when I made the research, I found out that the Greeks and the Romans were the occupants of that city, not the Jews. The Greeks and the Romans were the occupant of that city. Number 14 I noticed about that city was that they were pagans. They were idolaters. Of course, it should be obvious to you when we talk about the Greeks and the Romans. They have several gods, you know by history. They talk of Zeus, talk of all these. You know all those things, right? So they serve other kind of gods, not the God of Israel. So they are pagans. Another thing you notice about this city is that they rear swines a lot. At least you have an idea. You can picture something about that city right now. And so Jesus took a special interest because of one man. There was a man that had been afflicted for years. Bible says he's been afflicted for a long time.
So usually you wouldn't expect a Jew to go reside in a place where people raise wines, they are idolaters, they don't worship God. You wouldn't expect a Jew to be in that kind of a place, right? But Jesus took a special interest in somebody and decided, let us cross over. Irrespective of where you are right now, irrespective of your location, I declare to you by the name of Jesus Christ that heaven will visit you where you are right now in the name of Jesus. Irrespective of that situation, irrespective of your location, there is a special interest of heaven to visit a man. So he said, let us cross over to the other side. And do you know something? That journey was not going to be an easy journey. Nevertheless, Jesus wouldn't turn back, even though the journey was going to be troublesome. You read it. We all read it. There was a storm instantly that arose, as though the devil on the other side. Remember, that man was possessed of what? Demons. So the demon already knew that Jesus was coming. You remember, as soon as Jesus was landing, what did the demons do? They ran to Jesus and said, what have I got to do with you, Jesus, Son of God? So they even knew Jesus. So demons and devils know Jesus. Whenever heaven decides to do something on behalf of a man, somehow devil knows about it. So when Jesus said, let us cross over, it's as if the devil knew about it, that man was about to be delivered from us. So instantly, the devil also swung into action. I put it this way. Whenever heaven mobilizes, the devil also mobilizes. So Jesus mobilized his disciples and said, let's cross over. The demons also mobilized. Let's stop them from crossing over. The reason why you face what you are facing is because God had decided to mobilize on your behalf. But the devil also decided he also will mobilize to stop you from receiving heavenly blessings. That's how the devil works. Anytime something good is about to happen to your life, the devil knows it and he swings into action to stop it. Do we have to be discouraged? No. Do we have to lose our faith in Jesus? No. All it takes is the spiritual understanding of what is happening in the realm of the spirit. Understand what happens in the realm of the spirit, and then you get your victory. As soon as Jesus mobilized, you know one thing I like about Jesus? He's never perturbed. He just slept. Enjoy the sleep. Nothing takes away the sleep of Jesus Christ. It is we that get worried and then we lose our sleep. He is never disturbed. Even in his sleep, winds obey him. He slept. Only the humans that were disturbed. Jesus, Jesus, wake up. The wind are blowing. We're going to be captured. Jesus, Jesus, wake up. They were worried in the midst of the storm. And Jesus immediately understood what was happening. The devil had to walk again. Bible says he arose and rebuked the wind and the roaring of the waters. And Bible said there was a great calm. I pray that God will calm every storm in your life this morning. That storm that is raging your marriage. That storm that is raging your finances. That storm that is raging your relationship. That storm that is raging on your health. That storm that is raging every aspect of your life. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you will experience a divine visitation upon those situations this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. There are three things I want to bring to our attention. I've been speaking about some of them, but so that I don't lose any point, maybe I'm just going to rush through some of them. Some I may have mentioned already. All right. So what actually was the situation of this man before the visitation? What was the situation of this man? Number one, Bible said he lost his senses. And I try to meditate. You know, sometimes I read my own Bible differently from other people I don't know. But when I read it, I try to think and meditate and ask the Holy Spirit to give me guidance of understanding. I know some of you read your Bible that way. So when I was thinking and meditating, what could have been the origin and genesis of this man losing his senses? Because when the Bible said he had been like that for a long time, so it means a space of time was attached to the condition of this man. Probably that man was not born mad. Right. So what influenced, or what was the reason, or what made him went mad? And it almost immediately became apparent to me. Number one, the location of this man is a place where witchcraft could have been much more in operation. Because they were pagans. They were idolaters. And anywhere you find paganism or idolatry in practice, witchcraft and sorcery is not always far away. So sometimes the location of a man influences the kind of trouble he experiences. And when I begin to examine and check the Bible, I found out that in the realm of darkness, there are demons assigned to certain cities to govern them. Also, in the realm of the spirit, God also will assign his angel to be in charge of some cities. In case you are doubting, I'd like us to read from the book of Daniel. Can you bring up the book, that scripture from the book of Daniel, chapter 10, 12 to 13, and then we'll read 20 to 21. This scripture also came up during the revival week for some of us who were present. Bible says, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. So don't you ever doubt that God never heard your words or your prayers. From even if you speak in your heart right now, heaven hears you. God hears you. From the very first day, God heard the words of Daniel. But Bible says, but. You know, each time I read my Bible and I come to that word, but, then it means it's something I should pay great attention to. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. In case you don't understand who was talking to Daniel, that was an angel of God talking to Daniel. And then you will imagine how would an angel of God would have been held down by another prince called the prince of Persia. That must have been the demon assigned by the devil over the kingdom of Persia. And by history, you also know that Persia was an idolatry country, pagan country. Right? You see that evidence now in the Bible? So there was usually the devil will assign a demon to be in charge of a kingdom. So the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me how many days? 21 solid days. The reason why some of us pray and don't get answers is because it's not because God haven't heard you, not because your answer was not released to be delivered to you by an angel, but because the devil withstood the answer somewhere. So for solid 21 days, Daniel never gave up. He kept on praying. He kept on praying. He kept on praying. Day one, he kept on praying. Day two, he kept on praying. Not because God did not hear his prayers. Day three, he kept on praying. Day four, he was not discouraged. He kept on praying. Day five, he was not discouraged. He kept on praying. Day six, he was not discouraged. He kept on praying until the seventh day. But if it were we, if it were you and I, 1 minute, we are tired. We can't pray as a church. If we invite everyone to come in here today for prayer meeting for 2 hours, I bet you you're probably going to find 3 or 4 people. We don't like praying. But if we announce there's going to be food, that place is going to be packed full. But we don't want to pray to get our answers from heaven. We don't like prayers. For some of us, prayers is like punishment. Why am I praying? I don't need to pray. What am I praying for? I need food. I go to WIC and collect food. I need food. I go to Social Security and collect food. But there is something much more than food. It is about your destiny. And it is only God that can grant that unto you. Daniel was withstood 21 solid days. Was it because God did not release the answer? Because there was a demon in charge of the location where Daniel found himself. So there was a battle in the realm of the spirit. So because Daniel would not give up, God probably said, who is still crying unto me? He says, Lord, it is Daniel. Daniel, what is he talking about this time around? The same request. I released the answer to that request the very first day. What's happening? Oh, there is a prince that withheld the day angel has sent to release the answer. So God had to send a backup angel. Amen. Let's read the next place. Then he said, do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed, the prince of Greece will come. Do you see that? So there is a demon in charge of Persia. There is also another one in charge of Greece. Spiritual battle don't end. It's always an ongoing thing. I think that should be enough for us to understand that there are spiritual battles in the realm of the spirit. Can we see verse 20? Can you quickly give us verse 20? Oh, we have already read 20. Okay, 21. Go to 21 now. But I will tell you what is noted in the scriptures of truth. One opposes me against this, except Michael, your prince. So angel Michael is the angel in charge of the Jewish people. I'll give you another example, but we are not going to read it. If you get home, you can find it from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 24. And also read Exodus chapter 23, verse 23. Genesis 3:24 and Exodus 23, verse 23. God is always in the business of assigning his angels also to locations. Just like the devil also assigns his demons to locations. That is the good news. If you read Genesis carefully, you would have noticed that when man fell in the Garden of Eden, and God had to drive them out of the garden,
God put in charge of the Garden of Eden cherubims to be in guard of Garden of Eden. So God usually will put some angels in charge of some locations. Another evidence of that principle or that spiritual understanding is found in the book of Exodus chapter 23, verse 23, like I earlier stated. When God was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, He put an angel in charge. It got to a point when they sinned. God said, I'm no longer following you. And Moses said, Lord, if you're not following us in this journey, if you're not going with us, we also, we are not living here. Why? Because they understand that angels take no nonsense. Because once you sin, there is an angel standing by in those days in the Old Testament to give the judgment right away. They only obey last command. Alright, having said that, now we understand that there are angels and there are also demons in charge of location. So probably, most of these demons were responsible for inflicting madness on this man of Gadarene. So when you find yourself in a location that is an ungodly location, you better be careful. There are, in those ungodly locations, there are demons walking there. So you better be careful as a child of God. Or you better take charge or take your authority if you understand your place spiritually. That is why, as children of God, we are not supposed to be involved in any kind of celebration or festival that is ungodly. Because there are demons in charge. When we first came here, we understood that there was a celebration called Halloween. And then I started making my inquiries, what is Halloween? And to my amazement, I even find some Christians who don't understand celebrating Halloween. There are demons in charge of some stuff. You've got to know that. That is the source of the trouble of many people. But they don't know. That's the source of their sicknesses. Celebrating Halloween? Or celebrating Mardi Gras? There are demons in charge of some stuff. In case you don't know, there is a demon in charge of promiscuity. If you read your Bible carefully, you're going to find that it's called the gods of Baal. It's the fertility god. Go do your research. It's not difficult again to do Bible study. Go online. You'll find all this information there. Google it. Some people have done the studies from the Bible and you can easily get your information with the leading of the Holy Spirit. Then you can discover what is right and what is wrong. There are demons in charge of those kind of celebrations. So probably that was the source of the problem of this madman. The next thing, the condition. We're looking at the condition of this man. Ever before Jesus came and visited him. Don't forget, we're looking at divine visitation. The second thing that you find about this man, I've been talking about it a long time. He had been oppressed for a long time. The next thing, he was out of his senses. He had no clothes on. He never lived in a house, but in tombs. And the next thing you're going to notice about this madman is that people have attempted to help him, but to no avail. Bible said they will hold him down, bind him with chains so that he doesn't misbehave. He simply just used his hand and tears those chains apart. And go back right inside the tomb. And if that tomb was his apartment. That was his living room.
That was his bedroom, if he had a bed at all. Everything that was abnormal looked normal. When you are not in Christ, things that are abnormal actually looks like they are normal to people who are not in Christ. If you tell them, they're going to think you are condemning them. They believe they are right. You are wrong. But this morning, the power of God is here to set anyone free from any kind of oppression. You know, our own case this morning is not the case of madness. I hope you know that. But there are people who are still afflicted in one area or the other, frustrated. Either frustrated in finances, frustrated in their career, frustrated in their job, frustrated in every aspect of life. In fact, what they're waiting for is to go commit suicide. But I'm happy to announce to you this morning that the power of God will set you free. We set that fellow free. We redeem you this morning because there is a divine visitation for you. Because of time, I need to rush through. The demons were in charge of the life of this man. I was talking about men helping him and to no avail. Do you also know that spiritual problems cannot be solved by scientific knowledge? No. The best medical doctors can do, we just be to try and try to rehabilitate, but they can't deal with the source of the trouble. The only doctor that I know that can deal with that source of that problem is Dr. Jesus. That is the doctor you should run to when you discover that men have done all they could do. When doctors have done all they could do, the next, in fact, you shouldn't even wait. If Dr. Jesus should be the first person you are calling on to. Understand these spiritual principles. When you understand them, no challenge will be too much. Because God's visitation is going to deal with them all. So running quickly through the rest of the sermon this morning. The next thing I found out is that there was an impact of God's visitation in the life of this man. There was a mighty impact. What are those impacts? I quickly want to enumerate them. First, divine visitation. When Jesus showed up, the sanity of that man was restored. Instantly. Do you know there was a conversation between Jesus and the man? It was not the man who was responding to Jesus. It was the demons that were responding to Jesus. And do you know something that shocked me when I tried to check Google again? I checked Google for the interpretation of the word legion. It's not just many. They said, according to ancient Roman guards or army, when you say legion, it's 3,000 to 6,000 men. So no wonder 3,000 men, a chain is nothing. They can tear it apart. 3,000, at least 3,000 demons controlling the life of a man. One man, 3,000. You only need Jesus to deliver that kind of a man. His own was not like Mary Magdalene. How many demons was cast out of? I can't remember. Maybe I don't think it's up to legion for Mary Magdalene. But this man, 3,000 men, demons, controlling one man. But do you know, as soon as Jesus showed up, 3,000 demons disappeared. They all perished instantly. And the sanity of the man was restored. I pray for you. You know, sometimes some of us make mistakes. A lot of mistakes. And you question yourself, why? Why do I make that mistake? Why? Why? Am I out of my senses? Why did I just do that? Sometimes it could be the devil manipulating your thinking. And once you have done it, you now realize, oh, what did I just do? If you are in that kind of situation, I pray for you this morning again. That Dr. Jesus will visit that situation in your life so that you'll be able to think straight and do what is right at all times. In the mighty name of Jesus. Another thing, I found out as soon as Jesus visited, divine visitation, the man that had no clothes on began to dress well. Bible says he now had a clothes on him. You know, when the people came around to find out what was happening, they met him at the feet of Jesus, beautifully dressed. I don't know where Jesus got that clothes from. As if Jesus knew and prepared the clothes for him ever before he left. I don't know where he got the clothes from. Maybe he brought it with him already. He knew the situation of the man and prepared something for him. And gave it to the man. He was beautifully dressed. I pray for somebody again this morning. The Lord will dress you up. I say God will dress you up. Oh, maybe I should pray for myself because you are not saying amen. God will dress me up. You know, where we came from in Africa, as soon as you are saying a prayer, we don't wait. We just shout amen. Instantly. Hallelujah. I say, God will dress you up. I like that. It is in America you pray for people and I see people say, okay, all right. In Africa, where we came from, a lot of people are passing through hell. Yeah, right. So ever before you pray, they are shouting, amen. And truly speaking, most of us, we have seen the hand of God through religion. That is why we can't give up serving God. As for me and my house, irrespective of the situation we find ourselves, we have made it a principle, a lifetime principle, that we're going to serve God. Whether I have food or not, some of you don't know it, let me say it this time. There was a day, very early days, I started coming to this church. And probably somebody's going to know, I'm not going to mention their name. I had to trek all the way from Bedcourt down here. I never told anybody. You never knew. Nobody knew. I had to trek because I felt I was supposed to be in God's house. So whether I have money or not, it's not an excuse. I'm going to serve God. Whether I have car or not, even if I don't have car, you will still find me and my family trekking from wherever we are to come to God's house. So when I was going back that day, that family, probably you, sir, gave me a lift back home. I can't remember. Maybe probably you, very early time, one of the church members gave me a ride in their car back home. We have been like that for a long time, to the glory of God, not pride. We want to serve God because we have seen God. I have told my story here before. I lost my dad when I was just 17. We were a family of six. I was the eldest. My mom lost her business in fire. As soon as my dad died, not up to a month, everything he ever left for us was engulfed by fire. So we have learned to depend on God and God alone. Hallelujah. Over the years, no sponsor. I was just starting the college. I was the eldest. I was just starting college. No sponsor, no finance. A widow with six children. We were ejected out of our house. We lived in a garage. I'm practically telling you my life story. We lived in a garage. When it starts raining, we bring bowls to collect water. That's the kind of house we lived. So no situation. Whatever situation I'm going through right now, I don't see it as anything, because I know God has got a beautiful life ahead for me. So we were not moved. And one thing, as the eldest in the family, I was the first to give my life to Christ in 1994. I was just about 17 years old then. 1994, I gave my life to Christ. Sometimes towards the end of June or early July was when I gave my life to Christ. In 1994, you can calculate the number of years now. I was only 17. And I was praying for all my younger ones, Lord, save them, because we know that we cannot survive without God. Our nation is not a nation where you have social security and you can go and collect stuff from government. You're never going to find that in my country. It doesn't exist. No house. The garage we all lived was not more than this altar. Six children with a widow, seven of us, inside a place not more than this altar. We partitioned it into two, living room, bedroom. No toilet, no restroom, no kitchen. That's my life story. But when we began to pray to God, in less than 2 years, God gave us an apartment. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, it's going to be about 4 years. We lived in that condition for almost 4 years. But God began to change that story gradually. I became a graduate. The next to me became a graduate. The third became a graduate, all from colleges. The fourth, our fourth born is already a PhD holder as I speak to you now. All graduated by whose hand? By God's hand. So when God visits you, it dresses your life up. That's why I don't take for granted even the privilege that I'm here on scholarship to study in the United States of America. Because that, again, if I'm to tell you the story, you're not going to live here until about one. Because it's a testimony for me. Hallelujah. So when Jesus visits the life of a man, he does what? He dresses you up. And I like to pray, if you like, shout amen or not. God will dress up your life in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm privileged and I'm grateful unto God that he saved me early. And he has taught me biblical principles. We live our life by God's grace on biblical principles. And it works. It works. I bet you it works. I still have some testimonies I'm probably going to come back here to share later on. But not today. But let's round off. His mindset was restored. His habitation changed from among the dead people to living among the living. That's what divine visitation can do. It changes you from living in the midst of dead men and to start living your life like one who is truly alive. And second to the last thing I'm about to say is that when God visits you, it triggers men's jealousy. It triggers men's protest. I was wondering, these people, the people of the city of Gathering, they saw this man fully healed. I thought their responses should have been celebration. I thought their responses should have been to welcome Jesus. But Bible said, how did it get well? Bible, they were wondering, how did it get well?
And Bible said they sent Jesus packing. When God visits you, especially when you're in the midst of people who are so jealous, it triggers protest against your testimony. You should be aware of that. That when God starts blessing you sometimes, your neighbor becomes very jealous. Your colleagues at work become also jealous. Is he holding him? Why should it be him all the time? Getting all the promotion every time. Why should it be him? You should be aware that when God visits you, sometimes it triggers jealousy and protest. And lastly, that man, this is the most important point, that man went from being a lunatic to becoming a great evangelist.
Yes, amen.
Jesus. The man wanted Jesus to stay. Jesus said, no, you are now my ambassador here.
Yes, amen.
You go back and tell the people what God has done. And Bible said this man went around the city. He was probably the first Gentile that was converted. And he was proclaiming the gospel. He became a great evangelist. That was his destiny. No wonder the enemy held him bound from the beginning, so that he wouldn't be able to fulfill his destiny. So that the talent and the grace of God that is upon his life as a powerful speaker of God will never come to manifestation. So no wonder 3,000 to 6,000 demons were assigned to him to keep him down. Maybe the reason why you are passing through what you're passing through right now is because you carry a great destiny for God. And that is why the demons and the devil are raging and they want to hold you down and scatter the purpose of God upon your life. Can I have you rise on your feet right now? The Lord is breaking chains this morning. Right now. There are chains that I had some people bound from fulfilling God's assignment and purpose for their lives. I'd like us to raise up our hand wherever we are right now and just cry to Jesus. Before I lead prayer, I'd like you to pray yourself and say, Jesus. Can you say it louder? Say, Jesus. Visit me today. In the name of Jesus. Can you open your mouth and pray that prayer? Declare it unto God and say, Jesus, visit me today. I need your visitation. I need your visitation upon my life. I need your visitation upon my destiny. I need your visitation upon my finances. I need your visitation upon my family. I need your visitation upon my career. I need your visitation upon my home. I need your visitation upon my marriage. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, visit me today. In the name of Jesus. If you like that we pray together, and there is a particular thing you are trusting God to do in your life, can we just come to this altar right now? Let's just pray together. If you are trusting God for something that you want Jesus, and you know it's only Jesus that can do it, let's just come together this morning. Let's come together at this altar. And just cry to him. Just cry to him. And say, Lord, I need that visitation. I need your visitation right now. I need your visitation upon my life. I need your visitation. Everything that the devil is trying to do in my life, oh Lord God, undo them now in the name of Jesus. I need your visitation. Thank you, gracious Father. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I cannot pray for your people, but you can pray for us. You know what we are all going through right now. You know how our lives have been held in one position and held stagnant for a long time. You know that area, Lord, in our lives. We are pleading with you this morning. Visit us. Because we know that when you visit a man, the story changes. Lord, let there be a change of our story. Let there be a change of our story. Let there be a change in that health situation. Let there be a change, O Lord. Let there be a change, O Lord. Let there be a renewing of the mind this morning. Like you renewed the mind of that madman. Lord, renew our mind so that we may carry your mind. Every garment of shame, every garment of sorrow, every garment of poverty that the enemy has clothed us with, Father, burn them to ashes and beautify our lives this morning. If there is anyone here who has not surrendered their life to Christ, and you want to do so right now, I'm going to say this prayer and just say it after me. I say, Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning to surrender my life unto you. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe you died for me. And for my sake, you took the journey from heaven to earth to visit me, to visit mankind, and to die on the cross so that I may have life. I confess my sin, and I recognize that I am a sinner. Look upon me with your mercy this morning. Save my soul. Write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for answering me. I believe you have heard me. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Awesome. What a mighty word. What a great word, brother. Oh, wow. I believe that God has been here this morning. I believe that He has already made some changes in some lives. Amen. Amen. If you got children in children's church, please go get them. If you got kids in nursery, please go get them. And may you be blessed. Amen. You're dismissed. Have a great day. God bless you. If you're hanging around to help set up for Vacation Bible School, come on down to the front. We'll get some marching orders in just a little bit. Hope to see you.